Chapter 35.
I believe that for some of you, this is your first exam, Professor Lombardi said. The procedure is quite simple.
He looked around the room, his bright eyes glinting with suppressed amusement.
Once you are finished preparing, and I hope you brought everything you were told to bring, I will escort you into a small exam room. You will be given a sheaf of parchments with the first set of exam questions. The exam starts the moment you open the first piece of parchment. For the theory questions, write down your answers on the parchment below the question, fold it up again, and seal it with your karmic signature. Bear in mind that you cannot reopen the parchment after it has been sealed. You have 2 hours to answer as many questions as possible. I suggest that you spend the last 10 minutes rechecking your answers and then sealing the parchments, as an unsealed parchment is considered invalid. Should you leave the exam room, you will be considered to have completed the exam and you will not be allowed to re-enter the chamber. Do not leave the room unless you are certain that you have finished, or in case of desperate need. Once the exam is completed, you may return to this classroom to wait for the tutor who will give you the practical part of the exam. Do not attempt to enter any other exam room for whatever reason. It may mean automatic failure for both students involved, as well as a certain caning for the student who tried to open the door, so don't do it. You may leave this classroom to find food and drink while you're waiting, but being late for the second part of the exam will count against you. Are there any questions?
There were none.
Good,
Lombardi said.
There are a pair of reference books in the exam rooms if you need them, along with quills and parchment. You are not allowed to take anything but drink and a snack into the chamber. I suggest that you empty out your robes here and leave everything in the classroom. It won't be touched while you're busy.
Emily and Alassa exchanged glances as they slowly emptied their pockets of everything they'd been carrying. The professor hadn't mentioned anything about how that rule was enforced, but after they'd been caught in the laundry room, Emily had realized that they were under far tighter scrutiny than she'd assumed. Chances were there were wards around the exam chamber to catch anyone who tried to smuggle something in with them. Not that she intended to try. Passing this exam on the first attempt had become an obsession after she'd started tutoring Alassa.
Drink and food, Lombardi repeated as they stood up. Follow me.
There was yet another corridor behind the charms classroom, one leading to an endless series of solid doors. The students waited nervously as one by one, Lombardi took them into a chamber, explained how to use it, and then left, closing the door behind him. Emily's room was a barren chamber, little different from the study rooms in the library. The only real difference was a small toilet compartment and a set of folded parchments on the table. I should have finished devising the word processor, she thought, as Lombardi motioned for her to sit down. The exam chamber was infused with wards, each one keyed to preventing someone from slipping information into the room. She was surprised that they weren't keyed to keep unwanted intruders out, or perhaps they were, and Lombardi had merely issued his warning to keep their minds focused on avoiding even the appearance of cheating. Lombardi jabbed his finger into one corner. A glowing countdown appeared in midair.
The timer will start as soon as you open the first parchment, he said again.
Emily nodded impatiently, feeling the butterflies in her stomach that she'd always felt before an important exam.
Remember, leaving the room for any reason counts as ending the exam. If you need help, and it had better be important, dispel the timer. It will summon a tutor to attend to you at once.
And if it isn't important, Emily thought sourly, you'll be trying to finish the exam standing up.
Good luck,
Lombardi said. He walked to the door, stepped through it, and was gone. A moment later, Emily felt the remaining locking wards shiver into place. Shaking her head, she put her bottle of juice down on the table and checked the 2 textbooks on the shelf. They were nothing more than pointers, rather than something that would give her the answer. She would still have to know what she was doing, to comprehend it, to pass. Placing both books within arm's reach, she picked up the first piece of parchment and opened it slowly. A chime rang through the room as soon as she looked down at the question. She frowned as she read it twice to be sure that she understood. She had to write down a complex set of components for a spell, several of them only to be activated when, if, certain preconditions were met. Annoyingly, it would have been easy to do the whole thing with several separate spells, but that wouldn't answer the question. Carefully, she wrote out what she wanted to do, outlined the various spell components, and then wrote it all up into one spell. At the front, she added, as she had been taught, SP. She had a feeling that adding a real start point would have cost her the exam. Opening up the next sheet of parchment, she was surprised to discover a very different question. It was difficult to use a charm to counteract poison, but it was easy to detect the presence of poison, either through a sample of someone's blood or through scanning their entire body. The second question wanted to know precisely how the charm worked and what to do if it produced a negative response. Emily silently thanked God that she'd read around the topic and encouraged Alassa to do the same. Lombardi had never told them directly that poison could be detected if one keyed the spell to look for something alien in a human body. He'd expected them to learn on their own. There were 10 pieces of parchment in all. Emily worked through them, trying not to sweat as the questions grew harder. One of them discussed how to detect subtle charms and hexes, a reminder of what they'd done to Melissa. Her mind started to wander. Someone had to have discovered the idiot ball by now, surely. Melissa wasn't stupid, and she'd been acting in a manner that practically screamed that she'd been hexed in some way. Emily pushed the thought out of her head and wrote down the answer to the question. A sufficiently careful scan of a person's body would reveal the presence of a hex, if the caster hadn't managed to hide it behind a stealth charm. But doing that tended to weaken the hex to the point where it was nearly useless. Emily had once tried to ask if that had something to do with the observer effect, and had been greeted by blank looks from her tutors. 90 minutes passed before she finished writing out the answers. Then she went back to reread what she'd written. She wasn't very happy with one of the questions, but there just seemed to be too many variables for any charm to cover. Absently, she wrote that after her attempt at an answer, and suggested using 3 separate spells as a potential solution. Perhaps it was a trick question. The tutors seemed willing to force them to think, whatever it took. Shaking her head, she glanced at the timer, then started to seal up the parchments. Her head felt too thick to continue, even after she took a long swig of water and a bite of chocolate. Once all the parchments were sealed, she stood and walked to the door, unsure what to do with her answers. Eventually, she left them on the desk. She walked out of the room and headed back to the classroom. She wasn't surprised to discover 4 other students sitting at their desks, one of them very upset, but there was no sign of Alassa at all. The royal princess didn't arrive until the final seconds had ticked away. She looked tired and worn and not at all confident, just like Emily felt. They exchanged brief comments as they rested, before the first of the tutors. A very thin man Emily had never seen before arrived to take one of the students to the practical exam. She'd never really realized how many tutors there were until the exam. Whitehall seemed to have hundreds of them.
"My brain feels weak," Alassa muttered. "I hate exams."
"Me too," Emily agreed. She didn't have a clue how many answers she'd managed to get right, or even if she had got any of them right. "Do you want to get something to eat?"
"Yeah,"
Alassa said.
"We'd better hurry."
They left the classroom and ran to the kitchen, where they discovered the kitchen staff had prepared loaves of bread, ham, and cheese. Emily had suggested sandwiches to the staff, only to discover that they had heard of the concept. They just didn't think it was particularly appropriate for the students. Apparently, only commoners ate sandwiches. Given the story behind the invention of the sandwich in Emily's world, which might or might not be true, she couldn't help snorting at the irony. But making her own sandwiches could be fun.
"I hear you're doing the exam again today," a voice called.
Emily's blood ran cold as she recognized Melissa's voice.
"Try to fail it again, princess. It will only spare you the humiliation of advanced class."
Alassa glared after Melissa as she ran down the corridor, one hand grasping for her wand.
Don't,
Emily advised. She was more relieved than she wanted to admit that Melissa was all right. Who knew what prolonged exposure to the idiot ball would have done? "We have to finish the exam, remember?" Back at the classroom, they munched their way through the makeshift sandwiches while waiting for the next tutor. Emily couldn't understand why they weren't just told to come back at a specific time, when the tutors would be ready for them, but perhaps that was part of the exam. They couldn't count on knowing exactly when they would have to use their magic in the real world, either. It took nearly 20 minutes before a woman who looked like a cross between Indian and Chinese, complete with slanted eyes and dark skin, appeared and nodded to Emily. It was time to begin the second part of the exam. Someone had taken the parchments and the desk from the exam chamber, Emily noted, as soon as they returned to the room. Instead, there were three chairs, one holding an oversized doll in a roughly humanoid form. The other two were empty. Emily took one of them at the tutor's nod and waited, bracing herself as best she could. There had been very little detail on what to expect in the second part of the exam. Apparently, the exam changed every time. "This is the practical part of basic charms," the tutor said. "I am Mistress Sun." She tapped the doll with one long finger. "This is Nod. He has volunteered to assist us in testing your grasp of basic charms." Emily blinked in surprise. Was Nod intelligent, or was it a joke? There was no way to tell. "You should have no problem completing all of the tests," Mistress Sun informed her. "In the event of you feeling unable to proceed, inform me at once and we will move on to the next test. However, failing to complete at least 6 tests will mean certain failure. Depending on your score in the theory exam, you may fail even if you complete 7 or 8. There is no overall time limit on these tests, but a certain number of them must be completed very quickly once you begin. Do you understand me?"
"Yes," Emily said.
"Good," Mistress Sun said. She reached into her pocket and produced a small box, little larger than Emily's hand.
"Open that box."
Emily reached for the box, then caught herself. There was no trace of emotion on the tutor's face as Emily paused and ran through the detection spell before deciding the box surface was actually harmless. Taking the box, she examined it carefully and discovered a single tiny charm worked into the latch. The standard dispelling spell worked fine, it seemed, but some basic caution made her run the detection spell again before opening the lid. This time, she detected a second hex that needed a more complex spell to remove it. Finally, she opened the box and removed a single pearl.
"This is the second test," Mistress Sun said. "That pearl is actually hexed to twist a person's magic when they swallow it. Your objective is to swallow the pearl and then neutralize it before it can have a significant effect on you."
Emily hesitated. She couldn't believe the effects would be that serious, but it was quite possible that if she tried and failed to defeat it, she wouldn't be able to complete the rest of the exam. And yet, if she refused to try, who knew what would happen then?
"I'd like to put this aside for the moment," she said. "Can I do it at the end?"
Mistress Sun showed no sign of approval or disapproval.
"As you wish," she said as she stood up. "Put it on the table."
She stood behind Nod and smiled thinly.
"Nod has been cursed by a powerful witch. You will notice that a single, very complex curse has been wrapped around his soul. It does not merely push him into compliance with her demands, but works to reshape his mind until he is what she wishes him to be. The curse punishes unwanted thoughts and feelings, slowly wearing him down to nothing. He will become a puppet unless you save him."
"Brainwashing," Emily muttered. It certainly sounded like the concept she'd heard of back home. Punish someone for thinking a certain thought often enough, and they'd stop thinking it, sooner or later.
"You want me to remove the curse?"
"It is a task often performed by independent sorcerers," Mistress Sun agreed. "The witch is either unaware of the long-term effects of such curses, or she simply doesn't care. Poor Nod will end up with his brain mashed to a pulp, unless you save him."
Emily swallowed.
"I understand," she said. They'd been taught something about removing charms and hexes, but a full-fledged curse? "How long do I have?"
Mistress Sun smiled.
"You'll see." She waved a languid hand at Nod.
"Off you go, girl. Good luck."
Emily nodded and cast the analysis spell on Nod. The curse appeared in front of her, a glittering mass of deadly spell components, each one tuned to a separate thought.
It was so deeply embedded in his mind that she honestly couldn't see how it could be removed without tearing his mind apart. Half of the curse seemed capable of scanning his thoughts and recognizing what he was thinking. The other half seemed designed to cause pain by manipulating parts of his brain. Merely looking at it made Emily feel dirty and soiled. Every time she thought she'd found a place to begin, she realized that there was another part in front of it. It was a tangled mass of spells far more complex than anything else she'd ever seen. But independent sorcerers deal with this all the time, she told herself. There has to be a solution. Carefully, she placed her magic in contact with the curse and plunged her mind into its tangled web. Deadly spell components, primed to strike at anyone foolish enough to attempt to remove the spell, came to life, blasting streams of pain towards her. Emily gritted her teeth and ignored them, finally understanding why the spell was so difficult to remove. And then she grasped its only weakness. The witch had tangled the spell together like bad knitting, but half of the curse simply wasn't important. All that really mattered was removing the parts that would cause Nod pain or kill him if someone tried to remove the curse. Working at a frantic speed Emily hadn't known she could muster, she canceled the torturing parts of the spell before withdrawing from the remains of the curse. The mind-reading sections could be removed at leisure. A final flicker of deadly energy almost killed Nod before she deflected it away and absorbed it within her own protections. And then she burst out of the curse, suddenly aware of just how badly she was sweating. Mistress Sun let her drink some water and nibble chocolate before continuing. Nothing seemed to faze her. Emily wondered, suddenly, if advanced charm students had to remove curses all the time, or if they were more prone to playing jokes than the younger students. The fifth part of the test is as follows, Mistress Sun said. You will carry out the following instructions. The practical exam lasted for nearly 4 hours. By the end of the day, Emily was tired and just wanted to go to her bedroom and collapse into bed. She'd completed 9 of the assigned tests, but failed the last one through exhaustion, something that she suspected would be counted against her. And no matter how well she did, she wouldn't pass unless Alassa passed as well. She would almost rather have visited the warden again. You are excused for the rest of the day, Mistress Sun informed her. Drink sugar water, eat a proper meal, and get some sleep. You will be told how well you performed once the parchments are marked. Emily nodded and headed to the kitchens. She could get some food and drink, then go to her bedroom. All she wanted to do was sleep.